And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Every Thursday morning, after a long night of Wednesday playoff action, just waiting for you in your podcast feeds as you wake up, it's Point of Contention.
On the Athletic NBA Show as a part of the Athletic Podcast Network, it's myself, Zach Harper,
teeing up the toughest topics and questions to Marcus Thompson and Ethan Sherwood-Strauss with Jade Hoy producing.
Every Thursday,
subscribe
to the Athletic NBA Show.
Point of Contention.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to give you some of the craziest and most hard-hitting theories and takes of playoff action possible.
And you'll get Point of Contention right in your eardrums. In fact, if you don't like it, we'll have a Point of Contention for you right here on The Athletic.
All right.
Welcome to The Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday,
on The Athletic Podcast Network.
All right. It's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on The Athletic NBA Show. I am David Aldridge. It's raining cats and dogs here in D.C. I'm sure the weather is fantastic in the Bay with Marcus Thompson and in Florida with our guest Roger Bell. Marcus, what's up?
Yo, it's actually not fantastic, but you know what? It is better than yours.
Yeah.
At every single moment of the year, our weather is better. It's cool. We're chilling. This is walking weather. It is deservedly gloomy after people were shooting at the festival, at the Juneteenth festival, Lake Mary. That's why I was like, man, Oakland can't have nothing. We shouldn't have nice weather right now. Even though they're from San Francisco. We're going to take that small victory.
Okay. All right. And as
Black
I
people
mentioned,
shouldn't be shooting people anyway.
No,
so. They
should not. They should not. I did Roger's show last week, The Real Ones with Logan Murdoch on The Ringer. He was nice enough to reciprocate this week. The great Roger Bell, former NBA player, played extensively in Phoenix. So we want to talk to him about the Suns, obviously. Roger, thank you, man, for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, brothers. And you forgot one part of like my professional title now. Professional putter upper with Logan Murdoch. That's what I do.
The highest paid gig of your life.
You know what I'm saying?
Should be. That's my guy.
No, he's a good dude, man. It's a great show, man. Dude, look. I've been thinking about this for 2 days, man. here's what I'm thinking. I don't want to dunk on Ben. I really don't. And I tell you why. Because we just spent the last 2 or 3 weeks patting ourselves on the back collectively for supporting Naomi Osaka, right? We said Naomi Osaka, she should do whatever she needs to do to take care of her mental health if she don't want to face the media at the French Open or at Wimbledon. It's too much for her right now. And she just wants to concentrate on the Olympics or on tennis or on her life. Good for her, you know. And it's cool. And nobody really objected other than your Yahoos, your 7854 Yahoos on Twitter and, you know, the haters and the bots and things like that. But now we got a situation with Ben Simmons, who is clearly having mental health problems. And when I say that, I don't mean like he's having, like, it's, he's clearly struggling. And it's obvious that he's struggling. But instead of being supportive of him, everybody is taking a bat to this kid. And I know he makes a lot of money. So does Naomi Osaka. She makes $50 million off the court last year. So they're all making money. So what? I just wonder, I open this up to both of y'all, like, what's the difference? Why can't we say, hey, look, man, we know Ben had a bad series, but let's give the brother a little pat on the back or arm around the shoulder.
Ain't that right, Roger? You don't go out like that in Philly. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Philly no suffers no fools. They suffer no fools. They don't. They
really
don't.
Iverson. How you do this in front of? Come on.
They really don't.
I worked there for 4 years. I know what it's like in Philly. I know.
D.A., you know, I really believe her openness, though, has something to do with that. Because I'm with you. And I said it to a friend the other day when he was, you know, talking about Ben. And you and I talked about Ben with Logan. Yeah. This is deep. It's deeper than basketball for me. Yeah. It's a confidence issue. It is a mental thing going on. This isn't a physical. He's too gifted of a player, to not be shooting the ball. Like, missing shots is the physical. Unwillingness to take them, like not wanting to be in the moment, like those are mental hurdles that have popped up for him as of late, it appears. So I think to answer your question about Naomi, she was kind of upfront about like the struggle that she had. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but I think maybe that has something to do with the way it was accepted and covered.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, Rob. She was forthright about it. Yeah.
There is something though to this idea that when we do like to bring people up and then relish in the teardown, mm-hmm. which is something, it's a societal thing. In my mind, is it the answer just to say, okay, Ben's not that guy. And now you treat him like a guy below. Because a guy below, you wouldn't be doing this for. Nobody's like, yo, PJ Tucker didn't carry the... like nobody's doing that. So at some point, we just got to switch the calculation in our mind and say, okay, we thought Ben was a superstar, and now he's not. So let's just treat him like that, right?
Yeah.
Figuring out, hey, look, what team can he go to? Can he dominate? What team can he go to help? Right? Like, it's us having to change our minds, I feel like, instead of waiting on Ben to change. But to me, it's really that simple. Like, okay, you're not that dude, so let's not put you in the conversation when we talk about them dudes, right? Because you're clearly not one of them.
We've never really shifted narrative that well in the NBA in that regard, though. I mean, you know, number one picks, number two picks, number three picks, the list goes on and on. The Darkos, the people who no one could ever accept the fact that they weren't going to be this transcendent superstar, right? And we've never let them, live it down, right? And then everybody can't be that. So it's like the NBA is weird like that. I think they do it better in other sports at times. The other thing I would say, and I was listening to Rex Chapman this morning. I was dropping my kids off at camp, and he was referencing playing with J. Kidd and saying that him and Kevin Johnson would be pissed at J. Kidd as a young player on a veteran laden Suns team for not shooting the ball and not wanting to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
But also saying, look, J. Kidd was young. It took him some time and look what he turned into. So, we're also in a day and an age where you want everything now. He's got to be a star now. And clearly there's some mental hurdles, but that doesn't mean he can't figure him out.
Yeah.
And can't wind up being the guy at the end of the day.
So look, here's where I'm torn on this. DA, I think you're right. But so I'm thinking, how do we know this is not what Ben needs to go through to get what he needs, right? And if that's the case, is it our duty to make sure he feels this as much as possible so he can, you know what I'm saying? Like, part of the GOAT is getting jeered.
I don't think everybody's being that charitable. I'll put it that way. Like, that. I'm doing this to help him. Now these two dudes are like,
we doing this for your service, Big. Come
help
on,
me
man.
Help you.
If
you
we know, make like, you feel hey, awful, you'll work harder. And, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's the motivation for 98% of the people that are just dunking on dude. And making TikTok videos, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, like, and part of the reason why I ask this is because I think it's something that societally, we build, especially black athletes, we build them up to be Superman and impregnable, and they can never deal with shit. They can never have shit that they have to deal with, you know what I mean? Like, we never allow them to be vulnerable or to make mistakes. And we just are like, if you don't live up to what we say you are, you have failed. You know what I mean? And I've just been thinking about it. Not because I think Ben Simmons deserves any sympathy. Like, to your point, Marcus, Ben brought a lot of this on himself. Because Ben talked about, I'm the best player. I'm the best defender in the league. And I'm a great player and all that. Okay, you said it. You set that standard yourself. But when he's clearly, this, like Roger said, this isn't a physical problem. This isn't Shaq missing free throws. You know what I mean? Like, this is, or Dennis Johnson going 0-for-14 in the finals game. This is, he won't dunk. I literally couldn't understand why would you not want to dunk? And that to me speaks to something's really flashing red here to me.
But Roger, wouldn't like we could see this from watching, and I feel like Doc and Joel would know what know this something's up too, since they're in the locker room with him. Does that make their post game comments that that much more cold? I mean, I felt like they kind of set the tone a little bit.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that look. I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I've been in healthy ones, dysfunctional ones. I can't remember a player or a coach that wasn't at odds with a player on his team going to a podium and basically saying what they said about Ben Simmons. Like that, you know, we talk about the hurt or the you know, the mental situation that he's got going on. That is betrayal at its like closest. That's your family, you know, or at least it's supposed to be. And so I can't even imagine how, you know, he's dealing with what he's dealing with. And then those remarks get to him. I can only imagine that probably like myself, having played as many years as I played basketball, Joel Embiid less, Doc more, having played and coached, I've never run across a situation with a teammate like that. So it has to be really foreign territory. Like those are uncharted waters. People don't really know how to deal with a dude in the midst of the most important time of the year when you can like see the end line and almost reach out and touch it. And the team you're playing, you had to go into that series feeling like, yeah, we got this shit.
Yeah.
And then he kind of like melts down on you like that. I just think they really didn't know how to handle it either. I'll say this again. I said it yesterday. He needs to get out of Philly at least this summer. It's not a safe place for him. And I don't mean like someone's going to harm him. It's an emotionally and it's spiritually not a good place for him to be this summer. He needs to disconnect. Yeah. Go somewhere, private island, DA. You know what I mean, Marcus? Get out of town.
I think I read or heard some. He's already either on his way to LA or he's in LA already.
Yeah, good.
He left the next day. You know what I mean? And I agree with you. That's it's
that
healthy for him.
That might be part of the problem.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. Yeah, I mean that could be part of the problem. But Roger, I wanted to talk to you about that because I told somebody this Sunday night. You know, I've been covering this league since 1988, really since 1987, but I'll say technically since 1988, and I've never, ever heard a player and a coach slash teammate say stuff like that about a guy. And I was like, he can't, they have to trade him now. How, that can't be fixed. You can't fix that. That's unfixable. Like, you know, and it's not, I'm not saying that they were, I'm not saying, look, I'm not going to cast out, it's emotional. They were emotional. I get it. So I'm not like saying, they're terrible people for saying what they obviously really feel about the dude. What I'm saying is now that the whole world knows that's how you really feel about dude, how can you ask him to strap up again next year?
I 100% agree with that take. First of all, I've been in locker rooms, even at the collegiate level, when we're 17 and 18 years old and have no real ability to really, you know, articulate clear thoughts after a game. And I didn't hear it at that level either. Shit, yeah. I've been, even in high school, reporters come up to you and I've never heard someone just completely, you know, throw someone under the bus like that. So that, it, again, unprecedented for me as well. But I agree with you. I don't know how that, I don't know how you put that genie back in the bottle. You got a better chance of Aaron Rodgers playing for Green Bay and that working out than Ben Simmons forgiving what happened to him in that post-game press conference. Like, there has to be a move made, at least in my mind.
Yeah,
or Yala Van Zant coming over and, you know, sitting down on the couch.
<house.
laughs> Go take something that level. You know what I'm saying? Like appreciation.
Yeah, man.
You know, Rogers. You know, since you played in Phoenix, I know you got a thought about this. Is Ben Simmons mentally the opposite of Devin Booker? Like we've seen Devin Booker just, I don't know, out of nowhere. Be like, I want all of it. Like, give me every shot, every moment, every, you know what I'm saying? Like, on one end, we got Ben Simmons, like, who's struggling in a moment. How is Devin Booker so ready for this on his first go?
Mindset is a huge component. Not everyone's built the same. You know, there are guys at Devin Booker's level of skill and talent. They just aren't built like him up top. You know what I mean? Like there were, you know, I'm reluctant to say MJ and Kobe, they were very few with their skill and talent, but there were probably some, but they just didn't have the same mentality. So that's one part of it, you know, and then preparation. D-Book has been preparing for this, at least in his mind. from you know, who knows when. But this isn't, you know, they talk about visualization as a tool for athletes and different things that are really, you know, interestingly enough, Ben Simmons, you know, could probably use some of the techniques, but you're preparing for these moments and putting yourself in these moments in every shot you shoot in practice. Like every shot I shoot is game six, 2 seconds on the clock, down three, and I got to knock it down. So I'm replaying that over and over. I'm preparing for that moment before that moment ever comes. So when I get in the moment, I'm ready to go. So when you complete the puzzle, you got the mentality, you got the preparation. And I heard Monty talk about Devin Booker. He said he believes like that he is the best player in the NBA. And it's not that he's the second best or the third best. Like he believes that he is the best player in the NBA. You put that trio of stuff together and that's what you wind up seeing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Man, he has been, they all have been, and I give major credit to Monty for the last 2 years, really. And Monty has said this, and I talked to him about it last fall, actually, how big it was for them to do well in the bubble last year. Like that really, he thought, kind of reset their collective psyche. Like we can play with anybody, you know, like we don't have to be afraid, and it's showing. But I gotta go back to Ben for a second. I'm sorry. I don't mean to dominate this, but like, I think there will be a time where he will be able to play normally again and freely in mind. And that doesn't mean he's going to shoot 50% on threes next year. That's not what I'm saying, but I think he can play more freely. I just don't think it can be in Philly. So I just wonder, like, and this is off the top of your head, and I apologize. Are there other places that would be good fits for Ben Simmons? Because he's obviously a really talented kid.
Yeah,
that has unique skills that could help a lot of you. Could help every team in the league. Is just he just has to get through this shooting crisis, and he can still be a very good player.
I agree with you. Yeah, there are places. The Heat, you know, the Heat's a team. You know,
they have a culture.
There's a culture in place. Yeah. There's, you know, there's a way they do things. There's an expectation in the building. There's, you know, that was lacking for a while in Philly, you know, and I was caution people with that trust the process shit. Like you learn how to win and you learn how to lose. That's right. And some people might be able to like navigate losing and then become a winner, but it's hard for other people. So I'm not saying that he learned that, but the culture in a building is huge. So I think Miami, you put him with like Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. I mean, you're talking about three of the best defenders in the league at any position.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you'd have to figure out other pieces around. You know, I don't know what they're doing up in Toronto, but
somebody mentioned Toronto. Yeah.
You know, those I haven't not really looked at every roster. There are definitely places though, DA, where Ben Simmons, he's a great player. Like he's just
wild,
a unique
to say
player.
It's wild.
It really
to
is.
Otherwise.
He's just like, he's a unique dude.
Right. Like he's not a bum. People are acting like this guy don't belong in the league now. It's like, dude, like, no, he's like he's an elite defender. He's an elite passer. You know what I mean? Correct. Like
he's elite in transition, right?
He's like, elite in transition. Yeah. Right.
Normally he's elite at the rim.
Right.
You know
right.
what? You know what? It's also in DA. You kind of talked about, you know, Doc having to make some moves to help him out. Well, let's take Giannis, for example, because I do see Ben Simmons in the same breath as Giannis from rim to rim, from a guy who can clear the defensive board and ignite your break and be on top of the other rim in four dribbles, let's say, right? Yeah. and all that comes with that in terms of sinking in a defense and facilitating offense, because this guy's just so good and so big and so strong. Well, you got to unlock that if you're a coach.
Yeah.
You got to put him in positions. Like for whatever I've said about Bud, I mean, they've committed to unlocking Giannis's potential in that regard. Like, this is how we're going to play.
Yeah.
And you know, that's coaching as well. So there's situations for him, there are coaches for him. He's got to find it. And I don't believe it's in Philly.
I have one team that just kind of, just think about all the time. And I think he could be great there. San Antonio. It would be because, for a few reasons, they protect their players better than anybody. Like, they just do not let you get at their players in multiple ways. I think Pop would be great for him in terms of lowering the temperature, but while still demanding more, but lowering the temperature outside the building. And the way that they play, nobody has the ball in their hands that long. And that would be great for Ben, I think. Because it would be literally, you have 1 second to decide, shoot it or pass it. And then you take all the thinking out of it. It takes all the thinking out of it for him. So in a place like that, I think would be great for him. They got shooters. They got young guys. They are not a destination most of the time for free agents. So to get a all-star level guy who's under contract, I don't know.
For a lot of the same reasons, I think the Warriors would be good for him. Like, just if there's a place where you don't need him to shoot, like that,
yeah,
that's it. But also, like, I mean, like them four. Can you imagine Steph, Draymond, Clay, and Steph? Steph, Draymond, Clay, and Ben. Like, they're gonna get after. They're gonna switch every possession. Like, yeah, they're gonna run. Steve Kerr is great with these types. They've done it pretty much with Wiggins, right? Wiggins has rehabilitated his career. I also think Portland would be good.
Iguodala-esque in that sense.
Wherever he goes, they at least got to get him to be comfortable shooting free throws. Like, you just can't be on the floor in the NBA at the end of games if you're afraid to shoot free throws. So wherever he goes, they've got to work on that. He's got to be able to step to the line. Like, say what you want about Giannis, he's not a good free throw shooter. He ain't never ran from the line. Like,
no, exactly. Westbrook's the same thing. Russ goes to the cup. You know,
gotta at least get there. Yep. So whoever's got to work on that, but I definitely think, I mean, you put him in Portland if you could keep CJ. You got Dame, right. CJ. Ben is the answer. Yeah. They don't have anybody to guard perimeter guys. Like, he would be the answer. Right. He can unlock that.
The bottom line is, I think what I'm taking away, because all is, he's a fucking good basketball player.
Yes.
Yeah.
He fell on some hard times in the playoffs, man. Like, incredible. It's not looking good. But, like, you know, just let that man get to a gym. Let him relax his brain a little bit and, you know, figure out the free throws. And you got a hell of a player.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about this, Roger, as a parent, you know, someone who's seen all levels of sports. When you watch what's going on with Ben, like, how do you talk to your kids about this who are in sports? Like, how do you get them prepared for this other side of it, and maybe how to handle failure and how to protect your mind space and all that? It's got to be a little bit like, hold on, pull over on the side before we get to practice. We got to talk, y'all.
Yeah, no, that it's a really interesting question, man. Because my dad and I have my older son is about to start playing high school football. And this summer he's had a good summer. He's been in some college camps and starting to get a little following, like on Twitter, Instagram, like, you know, the little brand building that they do. And my dad was asking me the question, because he was in athletics at University of Miami for 17 years. He's been retired a long time, but he said, you know, one of the things that his, you know, the guy who now does his job at UM told him these kids have a hard time navigating is all of the expectation. And if not reached, all of the backlash from that. Right. And because it's so at their fingertips, you know, and we've talked about this, because of their social media platforms, you know, a lot of them can't get out of that space, and it chews them up and it spits them out. And so we just talked with our kids the other day. Like, I talked to my boys about, hey guys, listen, man, you first of all, you have to love you, you know, like you have to love everything about you. We love you. You've got to love you. And nobody else outside of this house matters at all. They don't fucking matter, right? Like, we're going to love you whether you throw a touchdown or you throw a pick, whether you make a jumper or you don't make a jumper. At the end of the day, it's a game. You know what I mean? Like, especially at their level, there's not money involved, but this is a game. It's to be enjoyed, and you can't value someone else's opinion more than your opinion of yourself. Because if you do that, like, you got a problem. So it's always got to be, you know, self-belief, self-love, and what comes from mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, and siblings is what it's about. Everybody else can kick rocks.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the playoffs, because I don't want to be Ben the psychiatrist for the whole hour. We got one game in Clippers Suns, and I actually thought if I was the Clippers, I'd actually be okay with losing that first game. Not because you want to lose, but because they're coming right off of a very emotional series. They had to immediately travel. They don't have Kawhi, and shit, they were in the game. Like, it wasn't like they got blown out. They just, you know, Phoenix pulled away at the end. I'd feel pretty good about things. So if I were the Clippers going into the rest of the series.
Yeah, I'm with you, DA. I do think the Suns will win game two, but I could make a real compelling case for why, you know, the Clippers feel really, really good about where they are right now. You ain't supposed to win that game.
Yeah.
Right. After what happened in the series before that, and the no rest, and you're not supposed to win that, and you could have, you know, like, so. But my only fear for them, the Clippers, that is that Paul George makes some tough shots, like PG makes some tough shots, and then he kind of falls in love with tough shots, and it looks like their offense becomes predicated around him making tough shots, and that's not sustainable. Yeah. So, you know, you got to get him the easy buckets. And then he'll make the tough shots to get you over the hump. Mm-hmm. But late in that fourth, when the Suns just ratcheted up that defensive pressure a little bit more, them tough shots ain't going in. And they're going to need just a little bit more good quality shots for everyone. But I'm with you. I think the Clippers, they should feel really good about where they're at.
When you're watching the Suns, one thing that jumps out to me is it feels like they have this like endless conveyor belt of good role players. It's like they just keep bringing them in over. It's like, where are all these guys coming from? And they all are making plays. And is that like, I mean, we look at the Suns and they don't have the three superstars, right? They're not configured how traditional or the modern championship is configured. But man, they got a role player for every situation, right? Is that kind of the counter to the way you can build a championship? Can you win a championship that way? Like, is that legit?
Yeah, for sure. And that's why James Jones, like, is executive of the year. I mean, it manifests itself in their success, but the team was built very, very solidly, like with depth. And you have to imagine that he and Monty and their brain trust sat down and they talked about that. We saw it bite other teams, you know, in the butt, not getting into their bench enough with guys being fatigued down the stretch. Like they make a, you know, they make a point of trusting, you know, those role players that go out there and produce. And clearly they've put faith in those guys and they've expressed the faith. And so, you know, when you free a guy up and you empower a guy in the league, you know, most guys in the NBA can play ball, man. Like it's the best players on the planet. You just got to, again, as a coach, figure out how to unlock it. And the other thing with the Suns I see, aside from having some depth, like, and having players that could come in, and is there's just an infectious energy. That there's just an infectious energy about the way they play, the way they get up and down, and they don't oversimplify it. I mean, they don't overcomplicate it. And so I think that allows guys to kind of go out there and just be themselves in that space. The energy takes care of it.
Did you ever, obviously never been in a situation like this with COVID, but what is it like when you're in the playoffs and a guy's hurt and you just don't know when he's coming back? Like, it's not like he's out for the year, but he's going to play. You just don't know when and what that's like. You know, do you leave him alone? Do you talk to, what do you do? What happens there?
I can, you know, D.I., I never had a teammate that I can remember. Dirk maybe in the Western Conference Finals against San Antonio.
Right.
I didn't talk to Dirk about it. It probably wasn't, you know, I wasn't on that level to really be asking Dirk about what's up.
You could blow up his phone. Yo, hey, Dirk, man, what's up?
What's popping, bro? Are we playing? But I got hurt in the 06 playoffs, and I can speak to it from my perspective because I had to miss games 2 and 3, I believe, against the Mavericks. And it was really stressful for me because I felt like I was letting everyone down. Yeah. I couldn't help the injury. Like, it was freaky, but there's a part of you that just feels like, you know, you fucked the season up for everybody. So there was just this mad scramble for me to get healthy or get whatever degree of health I could get back to get on the court for them. My teammates were great though. Like, they never pressured me into playing. There was some curiosity for sure when I'd be in the building, but no pressure from anyone. And the staff in Phoenix was going to protect me from myself. I had to prove to them by testing my way into playing multiple times. So, you know, the organization was great, but as a player, you just feel like you've let people down.
Wasn't there a situation, I'm trying to remember, this is a long time ago, where Iverson didn't play a game? I think it was that Milwaukee game? Yeah, I think it was like a Milwaukee series. I think Iverson didn't play a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, you're talking about when Vince was, they thought Vince might miss the game because he flew to graduation. But Vince didn't miss it.
That was game 7, right? Like, he didn't come back. Yeah.
But he got back.
I remember thinking, like, Roger, you better ball. You know? I was on that team so tough, but I remember correctly. Yeah, that was deep. If you're looking at the Clippers, right? And
right.
They don't have Kawhi, but something about since not having Kawhi, they've seemed to play better, right? And obviously it's not a knock on Kawhi. We all know who Kawhi is. What are they doing that's allowing them to kind of unlock more pieces without Kawhi there? Is it just a matter of, you know, Reggie Jackson is getting all the shots he wants now, or is it something else? Because they feel more of a team, even though Kawhi is incredible.
Kawhi is a great offensive player, but he holds the ball. Like, you know, it's a fraction of a second of a ball hold that can throw your offense out of rhythm. Now Kawhi is one of those players that is so good. You give him that fraction of a second because more often than not, he's going to get the bucket and it leads to winning. But the reason everyone else can be better in his absence sometimes is because when the ball moves, they have better opportunities. You catch people in closeouts. If you're not a guy who can just ISO and dance on the ball, well, now I got a guy closing out at me. The ball hit me in a timely fashion. I can raise him, you know, with my shot fake, and now I can beat him off the dribble. And so, you know, I think you see that happening more with Kawhi out of their offense. Paul George certainly has been freed up to take as many shots as he wants. That helps. Reggie's getting more. He slides into Paul's role. That helps. The rest of those guys, it's just, you know, opportunity because of more ball movement, in my opinion.
But I feel like the ball finds energy.
But I feel like Paul has more opportunity, but he's playing different. He's playing in a way, for me, that's better for him. Like, almost like a point guard, like a playmaker, like he's driving, he's setting up guy. He's not out there just trying to prove I'm as good as the superstars, right? I'm about to hit the dagger shot. He's like out here, you can see him drive the lane to set up the corner three, stuff that just he wasn't doing. I like him way better in this point guardy, point forward kind of role where he's a creator and he also takes his shots, but he's not just looking to show I'm as good as LeBron. Like, I can do this. Like, he's a different, he's thinking the game. He's playing a good floor game, which I really like him this way.
Yeah, well, I like him this way too. I would say back in Indiana, that was kind of the way he played.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Indiana, you know, Paul.
This is the guy that played. I think he's been in situations as of late where he's been playing with other real ball dominant players. And even though Russ, to Russ's credit, let him cook. Like, Russ tried to give him his space and Paul George played well, but there's always a, is it mine? Is it yours? Whose is it? Like, should I go? Does he go? Like, how do I play this? You see the same thing with Kawhi. Kawhi's got to have the ball. And so it just takes him out of his exact role, which is kind of that point forward type of player. He'll score in bunches, but he's just a really good, solid overall player with the ball in his hands. When you know, and so that's what you're seeing now. He's doing that because he knows the ball is his, and they're gonna, if he makes the mistake or it doesn't work out this time, it's not gonna go to Kawhi for the next 4 possessions. It's coming back. He's gonna get a chance to run it back. Yeah. And so, you know, that's why he's having success with it.
Book it, Roger says. Kawhi needs to leave. Go ahead. Get that going on the internet. Let's go.
Go live for Ben Simmons. There we go.
Go live
for
Ben
Simmons. Oh, let's go, DA. That's it.
Hey, let's look. The other series, as we tape, it starts tonight. I never make predictions because they're just stupid, but my instinct tells me I think Milwaukee's going to beat Atlanta. And I think it's going to be fairly handily, not because Atlanta's
still,
not
DA,
good.
Are you still counting out these Hawks, baby? Yeah. Are you still and not because it's
not, no, and I'll tell you why. It has very little to do with Atlanta, actually. I think when a team finally gets over a hump that it's been trying to get over forever and ever, and it can play downhill, everything just comes together. I think of like the Red Sox in baseball. When they finally beat the Yankees in the playoffs, like they couldn't get past the Yankees. They couldn't get past the Yankees. They couldn't get past the Yankees. And then they come back from 3-0 and they beat the Yankees. Shit, man. It was easy after that. They just relaxed. They started, the talent came out. They didn't have that burden. Oh, what I'm going to get fired if we lose this series. I'm going to get traded if we lose this series. And they just killed everybody. And I think Milwaukee, having finally overcome what nobody, very few people thought they could overcome, even with all the injuries, very few people thought they could beat Brooklyn in Brooklyn in game 7. I just think they're going to play real free and easy. And just, you know, I just think they're probably a little more talented than Atlanta is right now. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
Listen, man, the Bucks, the Hawks are fantastic to watch.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
Yeah, you too, just Roger, let me too, hedge my bet real quick. Yeah, the Hawks are fantastic. I love watching. They are. It's a great story. The Bucks are going to roll this series, man. The Bucks. First of all, there's no matchup for Giannis. There's no matchup in the playoffs remaining for Giannis. There's just not. There's no matchup for him. Trae Young is what makes them go. I can throw Drew at you. I can throw PJ Tucker at you. Shit, I could throw. There are three people. I'm not saying they can stop him, but there are a lot of willing and capable bodies to throw at Trae in that space. I think they'll be game. I think they'll be good games, but I do think that the Bucks are going to be too much. I think that I got the Bucks in 5.
I don't think Kevin Hurt is going to have anybody to hunt in this series.
I don't know. Nah, he's going to hunt Pat Connaughton or somebody, right?
If he's on the floor, yeah.
I can't believe after you two basketball geniuses have watched what you watched and you're still missing the aura and magic of sports playing out before you. You're missing the Disney movie that is unfolding right now. You gotta see it to the end. I'm telling you, listen. Atlanta is going to lose, but they're going to push this team.
Maybe.
The Bucks are going to be scared. There's going to be a moment where the Bucks are going to be scared. It's going to look a little different. It's going to be like, uh-oh, we underestimated this team.
In game, not in series.
No, in series. Watch Atlanta go out with game 1 and everybody be like, uh-oh, these Hawks.
Anything can happen in one game.
You know this, DA. You know what's going to happen? Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. You know Atlanta's getting one game just because Atlanta. Milwaukee about to come to town, and Atlanta gonna turn out on the Bucks.
But see, the Bucks don't have dudes that roll like that though.
Oh, come on, man.
They ain't a hangout kind of team. They're a group dinner kind of team.
Bud gonna hang out. Let me see. PJ Tucker. Nah, Drew ain't hanging.
Nah, they ain't a hangout kind of team.
Dang it, you might be right. You might kill one game.
I don't think we're going to see them at Magic City. I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
But the wings, though. The wings are incredible.
A man Giannis in Magic City tonight. You! Yeah. Getting a dance from Sparkle and Tiffany. I don't know.
You're right. Dang it, you're right. I had one game. That was one game carved out. Nah, I think we lost Roger.
It's just not. Yeah, I'd be surprised. Brooklyn? Oh, hell yeah. Heaven was Brooklyn, Atlanta? Oh, hell yeah. Atlanta might get 2 at home.
There's got to be one. Who's the one person on the Bucks that might party too much and cost them a game? That's what I need to figure out. It might be Bud.
I don't know.
Bud might be all over Buckhead. He already looked like he got a flask in his back pocket while he coaches.
You see what I'm saying? Like Brooke is going to be in his room reading comic books. You know, Giannis is going to be taking, you know,
PJ Tucker is gonna shoe shop and then he's gonna go right back home, right?
You know what I'm saying? They just they just in a hang kind of team. To me, I could be wrong, but I don't think Atlanta gonna get them like they could get some other.
They
some
get
other
somebody.
Squads.
They get somebody.
Now, if the Clips wind up in the finals against Atlanta, oh hell yeah,
it's over, huh?
Atlanta might win that shit.
I love DA saying, but the Bucks are too white to enjoy Atlanta.
I'm not saying too white. I'm just saying that they just don't. That's not how they roll. Nah, that's all.
They ain't going out. No. Hey Jade, I think we lost Roger.
Roger's back. I stunned Roger.
Yo, you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. We're good.
Hey, Roger, we were trying to figure out who from the Bucks might get caught up in Atlanta nightlife. I think my theory is Atlanta's going to get one game. You know how Miami gets a game? You know, LA gets you. Atlanta getting one game. But DA is probably right. The Bucks don't really seem to roll like that. Who from the Bucks might get caught up?
Like, nobody's getting the ATL flu.
Come on, no one's, man. Somebody. I think
no one's getting the South Beach flu on that DA. My choice is Budenholzer.
Budenholzer going to get it. Budenholzer about to be in Buckhead kicking it. Like, it's going down. They're going to get one. Somebody's going to get the bug and Atlanta going to get one game. That's
maybe,
one right there.
Maybe. You know.
Yeah. I do think there's something to what DA said, though, about, like, once you get over that hump.
We saw with the Clippers,
you know,
right?
Like, yeah, you get over that. That was a hurdle, man. Like, you know, the Bucks shit, getting over Miami was a hurdle. Like, they're unique in that they had two hurdles because no one gave them a chance against Brooklyn. But I think now they're like, yo, this is, you can see it. I mean, I really believe they feel like this is the one, man. And it is. If they're going to win a chip, if Giannis is going to get that chip. This is the year.
This is it.
They have to do it now. They have to.
Yeah. No, I agree. This is it. So
it's going. They're winning in six, though. I don't know about this rollover stuff y'all talking about.
No. I don't know about this rollover. They're not going to be a route.
Trey getting two games about him. They're going to have to earn this.
He might.
Yeah, he's a tough dude, man. I like good games, man. But I think it's five. I'd give you six, though. I wouldn't.
Man, Milwaukee might get a game at home because of the mean streets of, you know.
You know what I'm saying? All that cheese. You know,
Wisconsin.
Mean streets of Wisconsin, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, bro, that's the game Kevin Herter going to dominate. Like,
Herter going to get 40
of them. You know what I'm saying? What Barkley call him? Richie Cunningham? Like, hey, you back in Milwaukee?
Velvet going to get 40 of
them. Red Velvet getting it in. Don't sleep on him. That's an interesting point, though. Who can he hunt? Because, man, he was hunting Seth.
Yeah,
they were milking that.
I mean, you know. Yeah,
the matchups are going to be tough for Atlanta. Like, just
and
if
he
look
can't
around the
really
floor.
To Roger's point, there's nobody in that starting group that he can hunt. Like, he can't hunt Jrue. Jrue, hell of a defender. You know what
can't
I mean?
Can't hunt
like,
Middleton.
Can't hunt Middleton. Can't hunt Giannis. You know, like, so it's really, there are not many guys. I assume PJ is going to keep starting. Can't hunt PJ. So, you know, like, that takes a thing away from Atlanta that they really use to good effect. And then at the other end, like Roger said, who guards Giannis? Who guards him? Like,
I mean, John Collins is going to try.
He's going to try. He's going
to
try.
I don't even think that's the answer to Milwaukee. Like, you can't stop Giannis, dude. He's getting 30, 40. It's like, you can't let these other dudes cook you. Like, that's the problem. You got to figure out a way to stop Jrue from hurting you. But I don't know how you stop. Man, Drew's nice, yo. Like, this is what I like about Jrue. And we talked about, see, look, here's how we spare Ben's mental, right? Instead of talking about the people who fall apart, let's talk about the people who rise up, right? Jrue Holiday was in the dumps in that game. He was terrible, done.
Yeah.
He was terrible. And you know what he did, Roger? Man, that dude is a winner. Like, he was like, all right, I don't care. I'm one for Thursday. Like, it don't matter. Like, it's winning time. You about to get these buckets. You about to get these stops. Man, I love dudes like that, Roger. I'm telling you.
Straight up. He put together, he had been working the whole game. It just didn't go. And then he put together, you know, it was six possessions of winning ass basketball where he did everything you needed him to do down the stretch. And that's another reason why I would say, like, I'm taking the Bucks. Like, you have a dude. I don't think he thought, by his standards, he played well in that series.
Yeah.
Like, there's real motivation for him to come out and be like, yo, man, I almost let that get away for us, bro. That's on me. Like, I'm not doing that again. You talked about John Collins on Giannis. I mean, Clint Capella, you got a Rudy Gobert thing going on with Clint Capella trying to guard Brooke, you know, out where he's going to be spaced out to. I just see a lot of issues like for Atlanta trying to guard Milwaukee. And Nate's really good. So maybe he can flip that script and use it against Milwaukee, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, no, it'll be a good series. I just think, to me, I'd like Milwaukee, and I don't know. I still kind of like the Clippers in other series, but it could be Phoenix is just playing so good it doesn't matter. Like, they are playing so good right now, it may not matter who they're playing. I grant you that's a possibility because they are balling it. Man,
I can't bet against the Suns, man. Right, y'all got to forgive me, my Sundom. Like, I can't bet against the Suns right now. They're rolling.
Phoenix is going to the finals, yo. Like,
could be. They are.
They can play too many ways. You can just tell
when a team's on a roll like that.
They can play too many ways. Like, pick your point. DeAndre Ayton is like, yo, let's go half court. You want to do it? Like, what you want to do? Right. You want to run?
Shoot,
let's run.
I'll shoot 9 of 12 every game.
You
want to
shoot threes? Let's shoot threes. How you want to do it? Like, pick your poison. They're too versatile.
Yeah. Mark, you talked about like the magical Disney story. The other reason I think Phoenix, I mean, when you talk about stars aligning, like, and dominoes kind of falling, like they've got the breaks that we typically say teams have to catch to win championships. Yeah. It's not your fault. You don't have to apologize for that. Right. But every team along the way navigates an injury bug well. And they get some really good breaks that are with outside of their control. Phoenix fits all of those bills, save for the Chris Paul thing. But, you know, you're trading Chris Paul for Kawhi. So, like, they've caught the breaks that you usually associate teams that win championships with catching. So, I think they're one of those stories. Like, they're going to be there because the stars have really aligned this year for them to, you know, to get there, in my opinion.
And one thing I was looking for was, all right, they need a little bit of adversity. How will they respond, right? How will they respond? Game one, no Chris Paul. Look what they do. Like, it's like, yeah, okay. This is the chosen team right here. Go ahead. You know, the spoon is in front of Monty's face and it's bending, right? It's just bending on its own. Monty's like, watch me make the spoon bend.
I couldn't be happier for a dude. He's like one of the great guys in this game. So I'm very happy for Monty. I'm very happy to see three black head coaches in the Final Four. You know, maybe we'll have more than seven in the league next year. That would be a good sign, you know. So that's excellent. So, man, Roger, man, I appreciate you stopping by, man. You know, the perspective is great. The knowledge is great. The history is great. Everything about it. The Real Ones podcast on The Ringer with our man, Logan Murdoch. RB, you the man.
RB, appreciate we got to get you on like some of these pregame shows or something, man. Like,
you know.
For real, like, we got to start talking basketball again on these shows. It's too much gossip and stuff. And you're like,
some breakdown, man.
I remember that being like when you had your little 5 days with the Warriors. I was like, yo, this dude know how to talk hoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, so
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Like, you need to get it together and find your way on these pregame shows. Like, I don't know what you're doing with your
life.
That's
my bad. I'm gonna get my shit together, Mark.
Get it together, man. Like, I need to see you in a suit on the TV talking basketball. Like, quit playing.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, you know what? It makes it easy when you're talking with folks who know how to chop it up and talk shop, though. You know, everybody. That's fact. So I appreciate y'all having me.
Of course, my man. Be safe out there. My best of the fam. Man, look forward to these playoffs, man. Look forward to the rest of these conference finals. Look forward to this lottery. And look forward to you leaving that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get this podcast. And if it's less than 5 stars, yo, keep it to yourself.